Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? In the book of Luke, chapter 16, is an amazing passage of Scripture which follows directly on the heels of the Scripture that we studied last week and the week before that. Again, God's got a pattern going on, and He's got a program. He's set out to teach us some amazing things. Jesus said also unto His disciples. That word lets you know that this is a part of the same teaching program that's just continuing on. He said, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. The steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. And then he said, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. And then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, write 80. That's 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is the goods of this world, money, that sort of thing, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. A steward is a manager. He's an overseer, someone who is charged with the responsibility of taking care of that which belongs to another. The apostles were stewards. They were placed in charge of handling stewardship over the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul writes in verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When the subject of stewardship is being discussed, often the role of a preacher, particularly a pastor, usually comes up. And thus it should. Pastors are an especially good example of what the role of stewardship should look like. I am directly accountable for what is done with the Lord's resources and assets here at Lighthouse Baptist Church and how they're handled. I'm not the only steward in this place, however, am I? No, there's a bunch of others. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, as every man hath received the gift. Have you received the gift?
Amen.
Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All the goodness of God that you've been placed in charge of. Far more important than how I handle the money, although that is very important, is how I handle the Word of God. We are all the Lord's stewards, each of us. Each of us are placed in charge over overseeing many things on behalf of our master. Now, here in our story, this particular steward was accused of mishandling, of actually wasting the master's goods. And apparently, he was guilty. He had wasted his master's goods. It doesn't tell us exactly how he did it or what particular way that the loss was incurred, but someone had accused him to his master. Do you know that there's someone that accuses you to your master? It's not that person that talks about you behind your back, although they might want to do that. In Revelation 12:10, I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now Satan, as best I can tell, he don't miss much. I wonder what he might have to accuse you of today. What might he accuse you of if he had an audience with the Lord today and you were the subject? Have you been wasting your master's resources? Have we? Most Christians don't realize just how much they are placed in charge of. We are not only stewards, we are owned. Amen? Our Lord twice over owns us. I don't know if you realize that. By virtue of creation, first of all, and then secondly, he bought us back from our sin after that.
Amen.
So we are doubly the property of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says what? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Chapter 7, verse 23, you are bought with a price, he reminds them. Be ye not the servants of men. Our primary service is owed to the Lord. Now, the bottom line is that I, myself, and everything that I have belongs to the Lord. And it's to be used for his glory. There are four particular areas of goods that we are each given and charged faithfully to use on behalf of our master, from whom we received all of it, by the way. What do you have that's good in your life that you did not receive from the Lord?
Amen.
Points taken. First of all, and I don't have these in any particular order, but first thing, one of the things that you have from the Lord is time. Time is, that's what life is made of, you know. When life ends, that's when your time ends. You owe a significant amount of your time specifically to be used serving the Lord. It is a debt of love that every one of us owe the Lord. And Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Another thing that you owe God for, that he has granted you stewardship over, is a pretty fair degree of talent. Your talents are pretty amazing when it comes down to it. Some of you can turn on a computer and then not be cussing it when you turn it off. You can actually figure out what you're supposed to do and how it's supposed to work, and that requires talent. For a group this small, there's a lot of talent here. You'd be surprised. Now, why do you have the talent that you have? Did you just go out and get it for yourself, or is it something that God gave you? I realize there may be a process, there may have been some education, there have been a lot of things. But all those good things come from him. Your talents are given you to be used for many things. But what's to be on the top of the list? Primarily, your talents, am I speaking the truth, are to be used for the Lord and his glory. Above everything else that we use our talents for, trouble is we get caught up with trying to make a living and trying to survive and trying to do all these things that the world demands of us. We forget about the most important thing our talent is for. We were made for his glory. We are here for him. What are you doing with your talent? Well, I'm working. Got a job. What else are you doing with your talent? I want you to think about that for a minute. What are you doing with your talent? Because you've got them. You've got many talents. All right, another category of things that God has placed us in stewardship over is some treasure. We were chasing some rabbits in Sunday school this morning and talking about this subject in this passage of Scripture. There's a lot of different treasure that's in our possession today. You know, we want to think just about money, but there's so much more than that. Your families are a treasure. Your homes, the fellowship and the friendships that you have with other people, God's people, they're a treasure. Sometimes people tell each other, I treasure you as a friend. Well, that's because they're our treasure. We have treasure that belongs to us, that's ours, that's a gift from God. And guess what we're supposed to do with it? We're to use it for God's glory. Oh, many things. Now, we all know that the tithe already belongs to God, don't we? We know, most of us, that it is through the free will giving of God's people that the Lord has chosen to provide for His house. Now, He does provide from many other sources. I understand that. But He's chosen, He gets more honor when we do it than any other place. Let's put it that way. Nobody else but God's house and His church is going to give Him glory for what He provides. Not like we can and not like we do. We know that the tithe belongs to God. And you see, keeping the tithe is not wasting the Lord's goods. Keeping the tithe is robbery. It's stealing what doesn't belong to you. Come on, I could get an
amen.
If there's any place a preacher ought to get an amen for saying that, it ought to be here. Even the offering which God commands us to choose from a heart of thanksgiving, all of which our Master has provided for us first, by the way. Not one of you have ever given a dime that God didn't give you first. You show me the dime that you didn't get from God first. Amen? Okay, there is one other here that I thought was fitting to include in the things that God has given us stewardship over, and that one I have to call opportunity. God has provided us with opportunity. We're alive and we're breathing and we're here in church and we're able to do things. And time again, God places opportunity in front of us. And those are things that God expects us to act on and to use again for His glory. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let me tell you something. After vacation Bible school and then camp and then I can't even remember what all the other stuff was. You can get weary in well-doing. Amen? You can. Well, God says, faint not. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Opportunities wasted. It's just like what this guy was doing in our story. He's wasting the master's goods. Some stewards are charged with greater responsibility than other stewards. In Luke 19 and 5, now I'm not going to read the whole story here, but you'll remember most of it. It came to pass when the Lord had traveled into a far country. It came to pass when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said, well, thou good and faithful servant or steward. It's an interchangeable word here. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. I wouldn't want anything to happen to it. You see, the issue of stewardship is not one of how much or of one's particular ability. The big issue of stewardship, I mean the one that counts above everything else, the trait that makes a steward a good steward, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Being faithful to do what you're supposed to do with what you've been given to do it with. He that is faithful in that which is least, guess what? He's going to rule over 10 cities. He's as faithful in that which was still least is going to rule over 5 cities. He that's faithful in that which is the least is also faithful in much. And he that's faithful, it's pretty much the best thing a steward can be, is faithful. 1 to 10, how faithful are you? Don't raise fingers, just think about it. The steward in our story had failed, and judgment has come. As a result, he was called to give account for his wasting of the master's goods. He was guilty, and he was fired. That over which he was in charge was taken from him. All stewards must sooner or later give account for their stewardship. You were hoping I wouldn't go there, weren't you? I don't have this in my notes, but I will remind you that we usually think of giving an account after we die. And there is that. But giving an account before the Lord doesn't just wait till we die. I mean, there's an accounting coming in this life as well. This steward in our story was giving account for what he was doing in this life. Was he not? And he called blank and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Put your name in the blank. And he called Francis and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Put your name in the blank. Let me ask you, are you guilty of wasting what the Lord has given you? If you raise your hand, you say, yes, I'm guilty. How long do I have to stand here until you figure it out? Have you wasted any of your time, any of your talent, any of your treasure, any of your opportunities? Yeah, we are all guilty before the Lord of wasting the master's goods. There's not an innocent one in here. Well, maybe Caleb. He'd be the only one I can see. And I can't see him. He's still in mama's belly over there. We are all guilty, some a lot, some less, but we are all guilty. Judgment is coming. Do not think it won't come. Judgment is coming, but probably for you, I don't have any way of knowing this exactly, but since you're here in church and since you're listening to this message, and since if you could be out anywhere else if you wanted to be, but I'm going to just take it for granted that you're here because you care about what the Lord's done in your life, and you care about worship, and you care about obedience, and you care about the Word of God. I hope that's true with everyone here. Well, taking that for granted, judgment is coming, but it's probably for you not here yet. Now, the only reason that would be is because our Master is very long-suffering and very merciful and, frankly, cares more about you than what you're doing with what he's given you. I can't tell you how glad I am of that, okay?
Amen.
But like the steward in our story, we too are guilty of wasting the Master's goods. So what should we do? Okay, that's what he asked. He said, okay, I'm guilty. I've been fired, or I'm going to be fired. It's like that his master told him, okay, you got 2 weeks to get everything together, and then you're gone. Or I don't know exactly how that worked. You know, sometimes we just know it's coming. Amen? We know it's coming. So what do? Do we go out and make friendships in the world so that when God's blessings are taken away over our unfaithfulness, we have somewhere to go? You say, well, wait a minute, does this happen? Do you know Christians whose blessings have been taken, whose jobs are lost, whose bank accounts have been drained, whose talent they can't use anymore, and some of them can only sit on a porch in a rocking chair now? God takes away. He gives, but he also takes away. So do we go out and we make friends with the world so we'll have some place to go when God takes the blessings away because we know it's coming? That's perhaps not the best choice. You haven't been called to account yet, and you haven't been fired yet. So let's don't be planning on heading out to the world just yet, all right? James 4, in verse 4, he said, of people who were living for themselves and not anybody else, he said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, some people get really confused about why this steward was commended. This steward was commended for his making friends of the world so that at least he would have some place to go, but he's still fired. He still lost it. Let me ask you this. Do you think life was better or worse after he was fired and he's now living with his new friends in the world? Well, yeah, we know. We know what the world's going to do to us because many of us have experienced it. And they're not going to change their mind and treat us all nice now because we're failed Christians, if that be the case. Maybe, since we have not yet been called to account, we ought rather to repent of our unfaithful stewardship and to start faithfully using what God has given us for His glory and not just for our own personal desires. Just maybe that ought to be the decision we should take rather than just trying to get by and survive and go to the world for our resources. The lesson here, if you haven't already figured it out, the lesson here is that if you don't intend to be faithful in using that with which you have been entrusted for the Lord, then you definitely ought to make lots of friends in the world, enemies of God or not, because that's the only place you're going to have to go. That's the only place you're going to get to go to when God takes the blessings away, if you have no intention of being faithful with what He's given you. The only thing left is what the world has for you. You see, that over which the steward in our story was in charge was taken away. I know lots of Christians who've had their blessings taken away. You know some too, don't you? Just don't want to be one, okay? Which area of God, of the things that He's given you, like your time and your treasure and your talent and the opportunities, which one of those would you not miss if He chose to take it? Well, if He took away your time, you know, death is not the only way God can take your time away. He can cause you to be so busy in things that don't matter that the time's just worthless anyway. What if He took away your talent? What if you couldn't turn a wrench or read some of those fancy computer programs to tell you what's wrong with the car there, Daryl? You'd miss it, wouldn't you? I know you'd miss the treasure. We're all about getting more treasure. And the opportunities. Boy, if God never sent me anybody else to teach Bible classes to. If my phone didn't ring and customers didn't call. People I got to sit down with. If I never got the opportunity to share Christ with them again. I would miss any and all of it a lot. Now, we know the Lord gives, and we also know the Lord takes away. Job was telling us about that. That was a long time ago. Job arose, he rent his mantle, and he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But I sure still miss it. And he did too. Why should any of us get to keep any of the blessings of God? Our time, our talent, our treasure, our opportunity after opportunity. If we are not willing to use a significant portion for the Lord and for His glory. Why should we be allowed even to breathe God's good air? It's His air. Amen? We act like that we just have rights and that we have become such an entitlement-minded people that we even think God owes us something now. God doesn't owe me anything, but He loves us, and I sure owe Him plenty. Well, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Boy, Jesus was, wasn't He? He was faithful unto death. He died and was buried and rose again. Sent the message worldwide. But you know, he was even more faithful than that. He came and found me where I was. He came and found me where I was and brought me to a saving knowledge of him. He bought you with his own blood. Now, I could stand here and talk to you about the blessings that will be yours if you serve faithfully and give generously and use all that you have for the Lord. And that's a pretty good message, and I could probably even get you excited about it. I get excited about it. Why wouldn't you? But frankly, the good stewards are those who are already motivated. I really don't need to talk about the best blessings and all the surprises and the wonderful things that's coming. Because you're already motivated. You know why? It's real simple. We love him because he first loved us. And you know, really, that ought to be enough. I ought to not ever have to talk about the rewards and blessings of serving the Lord. Truth be known, right? I mean, just what we already know that the Lord's done for us. Man, that ought to be enough to motivate us for a couple of eternities.